Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, November 16th. Today happens to be the wedding anniversary of Brother Robert and Miss Sue Vincent, and I hope they have a special day today, a special anniversary. I think today makes 55 years. I believe that's right, that they've been married to each other. Praise God for that, and praise God for His blessings. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be able to have a good night in the house of God last night. I hope that you were at your place, where you're supposed to be, in your place, worshiping God at the house of God last night, and I hope that God met with you. I appreciate Him allowing us to come in here, and He spoke to me. And I've heard from different ones that said that He spoke to them as well. We're grateful for that, and we do praise God for it. We're living in a day when we need to be stirred. Amen. We need God to stir in our heart. We need God to awaken us from our sleep and our lethargy and to shock us, maybe, awake. Because when we look around, we see so much going on. I mean, you can't hear the news without some kind of a scandal going on, somebody stealing money, or somebody killing people, or somebody having an affair, or somebody doing some kind of perversion. I mean, it's just one thing after another that our nation, our society, even our world seems to be in the hands of the devil and his ilk and his crowd. But I'm glad there's still a God on the throne. Amen. I'm glad God is still in control. And I'm glad He's not left us weaponless. He's not left us powerless in this world. But He's given us a weapon, the weapon of prayer. And He's given us the opportunity to live for God and be salt and light in the midst of a decaying and a dark world. And I want to do that. I want to be the salt and the light that God wants me to be, shining for Jesus. Amen. And letting others know about Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and move right along in the broadcast. We appreciate the opportunity to be able to broadcast this over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. And we're going to be completing our sermon for this week today, a day early. And then tomorrow I'll be preaching a one-day message for the broadcast that I hope will be a blessing as well. But we're looking forward to that, and I hope that you'll help us as we pray. We got a number of things to pray about. I want you to keep my mother-in-law in prayers. Her brother passed away, and they'll be having his funeral this Saturday, and want to pray for them and ask God to help them. And then, of course, next week we got Thanksgiving coming up, and we've got Brother Billy Mitchell going to be with us on Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're looking forward to that. And so just a lot of things going on, and we're going to be in prayer about these things. So help us pray at this time, if you will. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for putting me in the family of God, putting me in Your plan. Lord, I want to thank You that Jesus Christ died on Calvary for my sins, and not for mine only, but for the sins of the whole world. I want to thank You, dear God, that You have not only carried my sins all away, but You've given me the privilege to carry my burdens to You and know I can cast them upon Thee, and that You will take care of those needs. You care for, as You said in the Scripture, and I'm glad You do. And Father, I want to thank You for the prayers that have been prayed and answered in the past. Lord, for those things that we could put a check mark beside, completed by the good grace of God. Lord, I pray for those that were praying yet to be completed. Loved ones lost yet. I want to see them saved. People that I'm thinking about right now, my heart's just about to weep over some people that are away from God, astray from God. Some of them say they're saved, but they're not living like saved folk ought to live. And Lord, our heart's burdened and grieved over them. And I am praying, dear God, that You'd turn them. You'd grant them the same deliverance You granted me. Lord, I pray You'd grant them the same mercy You've granted me. And dear God, You'd help them to walk right and live right and glorify the Lord. It's just the same opportunity You've given me. Father, I pray that You would bless and strengthen Brother and Sister Hall with health. My mother-in-law, help her, Lord, as they have the funeral for her brother. Father, I pray strengthen and help in the needs there. Help his family in those needs. Lord, I pray help Brother Mitchell as he comes in. Lord, I pray bless him and use him. And I pray You'd bless and use this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. and amen. Well, I certainly do appreciate you praying with us, and I thank God for the privilege to pray. I'm thankful for the promises of prayer. Amen. And we're going to get ready to go to the scripture, Matthew chapter number 5, we're looking in today. And as we're looking there, we've been preaching on this text the last 3 days of the broadcast, and today's going to be the final day. We're going to finish up the sermon entitled Some Things Christ Opened, and then tomorrow we'll be preaching a one-day sermon on the broadcast and continuing along. So hope this will be a blessing. But before we go to the scripture and the sermon, I do have a song by the Shepherd family. This is one we recorded a number of years ago, the whole family singing, one entitled A Sandy Creek Revival. And I'm playing this today because I'm praying for revival. I'm praying God stir his people again, and we certainly need it. He's done it in the past, and he can do it again. Amen.
Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. I read verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying..." I want to try to preach on a thought from verse 2, really. He opened his mouth. I want to preach on some things that Jesus opened. Amen. This phrase in verse number 2, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying..." And I've written down 7 things that our Lord has opened. The first one's right here in our text. "And he opened his mouth." He was friendly in an unfriendly world. Amen. He was helpful to a hurting world. He was willing to teach an ignorant world. And he's still willing to open his mouth to those that will open their ears to hear what he's got to say to us this day. Amen. So he opened his mouth. Then secondly, over in Luke chapter number 4, he stood up and he opened up the book. He opened his mouth, and when he opened his mouth, it came from the open book, the Bible. And I'm glad he was willing to expound those things to those that were listening. Turn on to Luke chapter number 24 is the third one. You remember this is after the resurrection. It's actually the day of the resurrection. But there was 2 disciples walking away from Jerusalem, walking towards Emmaus. He's on the road to Emmaus, walking along. And the Lord revealed himself to these 2 disciples along the way. Amen. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures..." Now you've got open eyes, but you've got open scriptures. And I want to pay notice to the open scriptures that are there. Do you no good. And by the way, your eyes would never be open if it weren't for the scriptures being open unto you. And so he opened the scriptures. Amen. The scriptures opened their eyes that they could see what he was talking about. Amen. Now turn to Acts chapter number 16. Here's a situation where Paul and his group have gathered on the banks of a river to preach and tell about Jesus. All right, in Acts 16, verse number 14, the Bible said, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us." They heard the singing and the preaching. Now look here. "Whose heart the Lord opened," hallelujah, "that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Amen. So you see here, our Lord not only opened his mouth, he not only opened the book and he opened the scriptures and he opened eyes, but he opened the heart of the one that could believe. Amen. I believe this follows here, just like the others talk about how their hearts burned. Amen. Their hearts burned when he opened the scriptures unto them. In other words, the Word of God does not just speak to our ears, but the Word of God speaks to our heart and to our soul. Amen. I'm glad our Lord Jesus Christ is able to open our heart. It's not you saying, "Well, I think I'll join the church today. I believe I'll just get saved. I just believe I'll get in." It don't work that way. He's got to open the book, he's got to open your eyes, and he's got to open the heart. As Christians, we ought to be praying that every time the book is opened, every time the Word of God is preached, that there'd be some hearts opened, that God would allow the good seed to fall into some good soil. They could be helped by the Word of God. Now, go backwards. This is the one I got out of order, Acts 14 and verse number 27, the next to the last verse. Paul and Barnabas have made their missionary tour. They've gone back to Antioch. They're sending church. They're now reporting to them what has happened and what has taken place on their missionary journey. They told of their journeys. They told of their persecutions. And they told of their successes. And here's one of them. They said, look at verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how that He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Hallelujah. That's me and you. Amen. Not just the Jews can get in now. Not just God's chosen people. But whosoever will, amen, can get in by the good grace of God. Because God opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. It was not Peter prizing the door open, nor Paul prizing the door open, nor Gentiles prizing the door open. We could never do that. Amen. If God shuts the door, it's shut and no man can open it. But if God opens it, thank God it's open and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. Amen. Number 6 we find in the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. John held captive, cast out on the Isle of Patmos. He saw this great vision. He gave the 7 letters to the 7 churches of Asia. And after the end of that last letter, I believe it's synonymous with the end of the church age, if I could say it that way. After this, verse 1, chapter 4. After God finishes working on His church, He's going to turn back to Israel. He's going to call the church out. After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. This is a door that will be opened. One day He will open the door of heaven and call the saved up to be with Him. Amen. One day we're going to hear the trumpet sound. Hallelujah. And one day the saved on earth will no longer be on earth. Amen. We'll head out to be in glory with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. There's going to be a great day, great opening when Jesus opens the door of heaven and calls the saved up to glory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. Laying this old body down and picking up a glorified body, a body like unto the Son of God. And I'll say, what a day that will be. Amen. Turn on over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians deals with the second coming, chapter 4, verses 16 down through 18. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. One of these days Jesus is going to open the door of heaven and call all the saints home to be with Him. Amen. We'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Last of all, Revelation chapter number 20. There towards the end, Revelation chapter 20. You remember there's a great white throne judgment. He sees this in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. There's another opening. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's the final opening. After this, it's shut, and there'll be no more openings. I'm glad Jesus opened His mouth. I'm glad Jesus opened the book. I'm glad Jesus opened the Scriptures and opened eyes when He opened the Scriptures. I'm glad Jesus opened hearts. I'm glad Jesus opened the door of faith, the door of salvation to the Gentiles. I'm glad that one of these days Jesus will open the door in heaven and call the saints up. But there's some people not going up when the trumpet sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise first. But what about the dead not in Christ? They've got a resurrection, but it's not at the same time. It's not a resurrection unto salvation. It's a resurrection unto damnation. That's found here in Revelation chapter 20. The dead, small and great, going to stand before God. These are those unsaved. Every person in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, there's not one person there whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's not a person there that's saved. They're all lost. Of all the openings of our Lord Jesus Christ, this one's not joyful. This one will be sorrowful because of those people standing there at the great white throne judgment. There'll be people who are not saved. These are people who were never born again. Perhaps they never heard. Perhaps they heard and never heeded. Perhaps they intended on coming to Christ at a more convenient season, and they never found that convenient opportunity. For whatever the reason, these will be people who lived and died and never were saved by the grace of God. They never came to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. This is not people that knew it and lost it, because that don't happen. These are people that never were saved. He'll be able to say, I never knew you. Your name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name was not recorded there. But their names are in some book, and their deeds are in some book. Amen. I better back up. I'm not sure if their names are. Because we know about the rich man and his deeds, but we don't know his name. His name was not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he died in his sins and went to hell, and we don't know his name. The book of Psalms, I believe it is either Psalms or Proverbs, but I'm pretty sure it's Psalms, says the name of the wicked shall rot. Their name will be forgotten. In hell, you won't be a person of identity. You'll just be a person of agony. You'll just be a person, just a captive, just a prisoner in those charred walls of hell for eternity. Amen. But their deeds are recorded, and the books are opened to tell about their deeds. Amen. The books are opened and they're judged, the Bible says, according to their works. Is that to see if their works, their good works, outweigh their bad works? No. Because none of these folks are going to heaven. None of them. None of them. They're all lost. So why are they being judged for their works? Well, it's not to see who can be allowed to heaven, because none of them is going to gain entrance to heaven. I believe, personally, that they're judged according to their works to see the degree of punishment that they'll receive in eternity. They're going to be punished there forever and ever. There'll be no rejoicing in that day. I thought about this. There probably will be some repenting, but it'll be too late. There probably will be some crying out for mercy, but there'll be no mercy on that day because it's too late. There probably will be many tears on that day, many groans of remorse, many pleas for another chance. All too late, because the books are going to be opened. Amen. Can I say to you that the day of the rapture is sure to come? I don't know what day that will be, and neither do you, neither does anybody else. If somebody comes up and says that they know the day the Lord's coming, mark her down something you know about them. They're lying. Jesus said He didn't even know. Said the Father only knows. Amen. Amen. It's not given unto us. It's not that Jesus couldn't know. It's that He chose to leave that with the Father. It's in the Father's will. Amen. No use us trying to figure it out. We'll just say that day's coming. Our Lord is coming to rapture the saved. But there's also coming a day of judgment for those that are lost. Today, if you're not saved, you ought to call on the Lord. You ought to ask God to open the Scriptures to you. You ought to ask the Lord to open His mouth to you. You ought to ask the Lord to open your eyes and to open your heart, to open the door of salvation, to open the door of faith, that you can get in and come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I mentioned a song this morning, ended with a song by Philip P. Bliss. Tonight I'm going to talk about a song by Will L. Thompson. And I've used this song in sermons before, especially in invitation time. But in 1886, Will L. Thompson wrote a song entitled, "There's a Great Day Coming." And I wrote the song out. I'm going to read you all three verses and the chorus. "There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord." That's talking about the rapture. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? The last verse, "There's a sad day coming."
That's right.
"A sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by, when the sinner shall hear his doom depart. I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come?"
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.